by. Welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got friend of the show, Mark Adams, Senior Vice President at CUI, back to the show again, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but first let me bring him into the show. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show again.
Hey, Alex. How are you today?
Oh, the pleasure is great to have you here, and I'm feeling great, and I'm just in a very good mood in general because there's been so much going on in this space. And everyone, I mean, power is back with a vengeance. I think I said it in the last 10 podcasts, but it does bear repeating that our philosophy about power and power management has finally migrated beyond just simply a better box. Would you agree?
Absolutely. There's a significant value proposition in quote-unquote digital power nowadays, and it's far beyond the converting one voltage to another voltage. It's about the value proposition, the time to market, and numerous other factors nowadays.
Exactly, because, well, it used to be, yeah, you know, we get a higher efficiency meant just getting a better power supply, but everybody forgot about the aspects of the additional efficiencies you can get from just better management, a higher level of control, putting intelligence into the system. What are your observations on that?
Yeah, no, the efficiency is definitely a key aspect. You know, it is a green world nowadays, and that's what everybody drives towards. But when you look at the algorithms that can be implemented in a digital solution, you start impacting numerous other factors in your design. For example, an easy one is transient response. You know, the loads aren't stable, the loads will fluctuate, you'll get an inrush. How is that handled? In today's world, a customer puts, a dump truck of output capacitance out there to make sure that it stays within the bandwidth that's required of the chip that it's powering. But with digital power, we've seen, a 75% reduction sometimes in the output capacitance. And when you look at that, that's a lot of board space. That's a lot of money, as well as that's another opportunity for a component to fail. So if you can do that in a digital algorithm to be able to do that, that's just another amazing aspect that digital can bring to the total system.
Well, and I agree with you completely. You're completely right there, Mark, because a lot of people aren't seeing the full potentials that exist within that. And the fact that you can replace these huge, I mean, and we're not talking about small devices. Caps are not, you know, microscopic. They have a physical mass to them. They're not just a three-dimensional space. They're not just taking up board footprint. They're also taking up physical height. They're taking up traces. They're taking up, you know, you're pushing electrons around. That's heat potential. That's chances for thermal management issues. That's, as you were saying, reliability of the system. I agree with you completely. That's a great observation there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's and that's why when we look at the total solution, you know, if you look at a module, for example, I mean, we're in the module business, and when you look at an analog module versus a digital module, an analog module will be cheaper. It just by nature, if you compare a module to module. But when you start looking at the total cost of ownership of that, the board space, the real estate associated with that, the components that are eliminated, the power management functions that are brought into that solution, and that doesn't even count the fact that now that you have a brain in your power supply, you can make adaptive changes. And adaptive changes can save board spins. And when you start talking about board spins, now you're really starting to talk about some serious money. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars that you don't have to go out there and do another board spin, and you're going to allow yourself to meet the market window that you're trying to reach.
Exactly, because not only is that money, it's also time, a significant amount of time.
And time is money, right?
This is also true, Mark. And, you know, Mark, that's the other thing about it is you'll have some analog engineers out there who swear that they can make feedback circuits and loops that'll keep the system, quote-unquote, intelligent without intelligence. What do you have to say to people of that nature? I mean, the easy answer I have, but I want to, you know, I'd like to hear what you think about that.
Well, you know, they make processors and algorithms for a reason, and I don't take anything away from the art of analog power design. It is a science, And however, the resources required and the people that are able to do that are few and far between nowadays. And when you look at a system, once you get outside those tier one customers, you know, there's not analog design engineers residing to do all the power supplies within these companies. They're digital design engineers that have to do the art of analog. And again, the analog design engineer, it's an art. But the majority of the engineers out there are not those guys. And they can do the down designs, and there's a special place for them in those applications. But the majority of the world is not controlled by them. It's the digital guy that has to figure out how to power his devices.
Exactly. And that's also a very good point there to make, is that once you have algorithms and you have finished solutions and you can customize within the digital realm what the customer wants, you're really enabling that smaller customer. Because you're right, it's tier ones. They've got the engineering power to crank out any kind of solution. It's the guys at the mid-tier and the low-tier that have a cool idea for a good device, a new training bicycle or a new exercise machine or some sports medicine or even something on the more mundane side, a better fuel injector system for automobile racing, and they need, I need that one piece of solution for my power. And you're right, they don't have a team of people to just try to create a special custom power supply for them. They could, an off-the-shelf digital solution would actually be able to serve their needs.
We couldn't agree with you more.
So having said all of that, Mark, what is CUI currently offering the community to solve some of those issues of management and efficiency and control?
You know, what we're really focused on is we're focused on the non-isolated point of load modules, as well as the isolated intermediate bus converter. And when you look at the point of load modules, we have a series that's based on a Intersil Zilker Labs controller, and it has auto compensation. So when you talk about time to market and things like that, you know, no longer do you have to do your own compensation of the analog circuit. You can allow the controller to do that for you. So we offer 12, 25, 50 amp solutions that are small, compact, highly efficient, highly integrated, all controlled by a very push-button, almost application type of GUI. As a matter of fact, you can use our GUI to program the devices, and other than typing in a name for a particular rail that you want to name it, you can do it with a mouse. So you don't have to be a programmer in order to do this. It's very driven from a simplistic manner. Let the design engineer go back to what they're really paid to do, and that's put that special code in that DSP for that new application that's going to dominate their market space, and let us take care of that power. And so we have numerous solutions in there. Again, that 12, 25, 50 amp module, as well as the intermediate bus converter up from there, all in the same communication chain, all tied into one simple platform to program them all.
Well, and you know, and actually, when you really think about it, Mark, also how the market has progressed. When you're talking about board level power, you know, now we toss around 40 and 50 amps on the board. It's amazing that we can control that with such precision, keeping the thermals down, because of course the higher the efficiencies, the less thermal management issues you have confronted with. But I mean, you could really have a powerful solution literally off the shelf, but yet dialed into your need.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and 40 amps is, it seems like that's almost a low benchmark sometimes. I mean, I just went and visited customers last week that were requiring 150 amps for a single core voltage. So when you talk about 150 amps, regardless of how you're going to do it, that's not an easy task. So if you can reduce the opportunity for failure in that design, that's a pretty big deal. And digital doesn't have to be a full system. Sometimes the best digital solution is just taking that trouble socket, adding digital to that, taking advantage of the algorithms, and let the rest of your system work as an analog system if you need it. But there's a high value proposition in taking care of those critical sockets.
Well, and actually that's an excellent observation, Mark, as well, is that you don't have to make the entire system digital. It doesn't have to be that every facet of the system is digitally controlled. It could just be those critical pressure points where you need to have the solution more tailored to your application.
Absolutely.
Wow. So anything else about the product line that you'd like to talk to us about that point out some of the advantages to the engineering community for?
Yeah, I mean, it's a full adaptive range. So The modules all support the 4.5 to 14 volt buses that are out there, and 0.6 to 3.3 or 5.5 on the output. They have all the auto compensation. They're all digitally controlled, and they're all within a very structured family and a mature controller family that will lead into new generations and a platform really for the customer to build on. This is a platform decision that customers need to choose, and they need to choose wisely. It's almost like, you know, are you going to be a Xilinx FPGA house or an Altera FPGA house? Once you build that platform, being able to cut and paste, and I can tell you that next year as an organization, we have some very exciting products that continue to build on this into newer generations of technologies that will continue to be interoperable with the existing families that we have today.
Very nice. Well, and that's the key, right, is that you want to be able to offer a good palette of products to allow people to get a solution that suits them, but then obviously the technology constantly migrates.
Yeah, you can't have a dead end in the solution. There has to be a roadmap there.
Exactly. Now, and speaking of roadmap, are there any final thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with about where you're headed before we close out the episode?
No, I just the densities will continue to be pushed. When we look at our roadmap, efficiencies will continue to be pushed. Transient response is going to be amazing in the coming year. We're seeing products right now in the lab that will have transient response 25% of what we have now, and we already have some of the best in our products. So it's an exciting time, it's an exciting time to be in digital power, because digital power is moving from a nice-to-have to a have-to-have, and you'll see more things coming out where it's no longer an option for the customers.
Exactly. As Noel Lee used to say about Monster Cable, it's a necessary. You know, you really should have. Although, in his case, I question him on the actual physics, but in your case, I trust that you actually have some solutions that actually do what they say they do. But, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Oh, before I let you go, what's your URL?
Yes, absolutely. It's www.cui.com, and you can find all the information about our Novum Advanced Power products that support the digital point of loads as well as the intermediate bus converters.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks again, Mark. I really appreciate you taking the time to be out here, because our audience is always trying to find solutions, and anybody who can offer them some real solutions to their application issues is going to really be thankful.
Great. Thanks, Alex.
You too, Mark. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to be with us. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Paltz for Paltz on Power. Have a great day.